Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high, and you hit 'em low, hit 'em low.
Going straight to the hole. Your ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take a earth shaker, 3-point gun in this. Get out the lane, I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission, no. Eight is not enough, your whole squad better duck. It's like switch when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like go down under Rago, tell me who wanna tangle with together, which stop the neighborhood superhero.
Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. And free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up on my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Up off the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rap get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, chopper, flavor, fluid, no pretty flow.
Rocket Nation, welcome to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown Podcast. We are here live on blogtalkradio.com up until 7 p.m., and it's another 30-minute special. In case you missed yesterday's broadcast on worldwidecoreradio.com, don't panic. It's going to be okay. We're going to recap some things that have transpired within the last 24 to 40 hours a little bit. We're going to talk some playoff action. I'm going to make my picks later on in the broadcast. Also, we have a few coaches that have just recently gotten hired to a few football teams. And we're going to start right there. Well, on Monday evening, it went down just about 24 hours after the Chargers were eliminated in the playoffs by the Broncos. Offensive coordinator Ken Whisenhunt is now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, which raised a lot of eyebrows to a lot of people, including me, because I wanted him to come to Detroit. You know, that he was my top pick. I definitely had him as number one, my number one option. But it looks like he has now taken the Tennessee Titans job. And Ken Whisenhunt, his background goes where he was the coach of the Arizona Cardinals. That's where he had his head coaching job. He also took that same Cardinals team to the Super Bowl in the 2008-09 season, losing to Pittsburgh in the final 2 minutes. The team that Whisenhunt was formerly an assistant coach under, from 2001 to 2003, he was a tight ends coach there, and from 04 to 06, he was their offensive coordinator. He coached the Cardinals from 2007 to 2012 as their head coach, came over to San Diego this past season as their offensive coordinator. He single-handedly put Phillip Rivers back on the map as elite quarterback status. Let's just put that out there. To me, that's completely the situation there. And I also feel like he was going to get another head coaching opportunity. You know, I saw this kind of coming. Throughout his time with the Cardinals, he's 45-51. He did have two playoff appearances, including the first year, 2008-09, where he went all the way to the Super Bowl. They had a great run, and Larry Fitzgerald was a big part of why they were able to go as far as they did. And having Kurt Warner as the quarterback helped at that time, too. The following year, they lost. They went back to the playoffs with a 10-6 record, so they had back-to-back first-place division records. That year was the year that they had a thriller overtime playoff game in the wild card round against Green Bay, where all those offensive touchdowns were scored, and the game came down to a defensive score in overtime, in which the Cardinals won. And then they went on to get obliterated by the Saints in the NFC divisional game, the team that went on to win the Super Bowl. So he's 45-51 as a head coach. He's 4-2 in the postseason. He's going to take over a Titans team that really, I don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. I really have no idea who their quarterback is going to be. It was supposed to be Jake Locker, but Jake Locker came off a disappointing season in where he got hurt. He didn't really make a lot of things happen, although the Titans did get off to a good start, but it was really that defense that was really, really going. Basically, in September, after a 38-13 win over the Jets, Jake Locker was hit by couple of Jets defenders, was carted off the field in what appeared to be a serious right leg injury. They actually had him listed as being out 4 to 6 weeks, and then it kind of went down to 3. He did come back just less than a month later against the 49ers and played well, but they ended up losing the game anyway. And he suffered another injury a month after that against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He suffered a Lisfranc injury to his right foot, which ended his season. So Ryan Fitzpatrick was the guy that was he got much of the throws and much of the starts this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, started 7 games out of the 9 that he played in and just threw for over 2,000 yards, had 13 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. To me, he's not the guy. So are you going to go into the draft looking for another quarterback? Because there will be some quarterbacks available, guys like Johnny Manziel, guys like Teddy Bridgewater. So there will be some quarterbacks open. If I'm the Titans, I'm seriously thinking about looking into that, because obviously Jake Locker is not the guy. He's not the guy that is going to be the future, because he keeps getting beat up so much. So what are you going to do? So good luck to Ken Whisenhunt, though. Congratulations on getting the job, but good luck, because he's going to need it. He's going to need it for sure. So because of that, the Lions pretty much had to go in a different direction a little bit, but from what I was told and from multiple reports on ESPN, NFL Network, and even local news stations, they had their eyes really on Jim Caldwell, who they ended up hiring yesterday. They had the press conference earlier today. You can go into the Detroit Lions website to find out more and to check out more footage. You can also check out the NFL Network. They've been reporting this too. ESPN has reported it a little bit. Some of your local Michigan stations have also been reporting this, so you can definitely go on and check out all those sites and those news stations in regards to the reports that came out today and yesterday. But Jim Caldwell is the head coach. He's going to be the head coach, and good for him. Good for him, because I felt like he was going to be a defensive he felt like he was going to be a head coach again. I felt like he deserved an opportunity just as much as Ken Whisenhunt did, if not maybe more. Just to run Jim Caldwell's background again, he's best known for being the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts from 2009 to 2011. He was basically Tony Dungy's successor. Tony Dungy has had a lot of good things to say about Jim Caldwell. Tony Dungy has had a lot of good things to say about the organization making this move for the last week or so, basically since the playoffs started. So basically, they decided to go in this direction. Again, we had the press conference that came out earlier today, and it was a good hire. I don't know why these idiot fans out there are blasting the decision. It's a good hire. It really is. I think he's going to bring demeanor. He's going to bring discipline. He's going to bring respect. He's going to bring a winning culture to this team that really, really needs it. But, yeah, Jim Caldwell has spent a lot of time with Tony Dungy going back to their days in Tampa. In 2001, he was the quarterback's coach for the Buccaneers that year, shortly before Dungy got fired. Went over to Indianapolis along with Dungy from 2002 to 2008, became the quarterback's coach and their top assistant head coach. He spent the last 2 years with the Baltimore Ravens as their quarterback's coach and their offensive coordinator. This past year, though, it was a disappointing offense for the Baltimore Ravens. Not having Pitted as the tight end, Ray Rice pretty much falling off the map. Joe Flacco not looking like the guy that won the Super Bowl or even got to the Super Bowl. And I saw that coming, too. Come on now. I mean, that was obvious, completely obvious. But anyway, so the press conference was announced today. He's got the job. He's going to take over a team. His record as a head coach is 26-22. Again, with that, when he took over the Colts officially as the head coach in 2009, he went 14-2, went all the way to the Super Bowl before losing to the Saints. The following year, they were 10-6. They lost to the Jets at home in the AFC wild card game. And then 2011, the year that pretty much sealed his fate a little bit, they were 2-14. That was the year that Peyton Manning didn't play at all. They had the shortened lockout season, so he wasn't able to get his surgery done the way he would have wanted to, because players weren't really allowed to conduct with doctors or coaches or even owners until the lockout situation got resolved. So Peyton Manning ended up having 3 to 4 neck surgeries that year. He ended up sitting out the entire season. It was time to move on. He moved on to Denver. Jim Caldwell was let go, along with most of the coaches on that staff. And now he's going to come over and coach the Detroit Lions. And basically, he's not going to have to do a whole lot of tweaking. He's just basically going to have to bring some discipline, bring some respect, bring some honor to this team, and get them into a winning culture. That's all he pretty much has to do. Yeah, they might have to make a few moves here and there, but if he can get Matthew Stafford to play like the capable elite quarterback that he can be, and he has shown that he is, he just needs to stop making those little mistakes, throw the ball better with some more accuracy, because he's got great arm strength. Nobody is questioning that. But I also think that he is going to have to showcase that he can be a better leader. He can be more dependent on, more counted on to get the team to win more games. And he has shown that, seriously, especially the past 2-3 seasons. He has shown that, 2011 for certain. I also think that it's going to come down to the defense getting its act together, not committing stupid penalties, the secondary playing better, and the wide receivers not necessarily dropping a lot of passes. So he's going to have his work cut out for him, but I think he's going to get this team to be a more respectable team and making the moves that they're going to be making. So congratulations to Jim Caldwell getting the head coaching job of the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to be personally watching this team and watching him, as always, because I'm a local fan. Always have been and always will be. Another coach, it looks like sources from what I've been told, it looks like Minnesota has got their head coach now, and that's going to be Mike Zimmer, who has been the defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals. He's basically been a defensive guy his whole coaching career. Just to give you a quick background on him, from 2008 to 2013, he was the defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals. In 2007, he was the defensive coordinator of the Falcons. That Bengals defense was playing better over the years, and he had a big part in that particular reason. He's also best known for his time going back to 1994, where He got his first coaching job in the NFL. He's the defensive backs coach from the Cowboys from 94 to 99. Got them to win a Super Bowl. Coaching guys like Deion Sanders, Darren Woodson, Russell Maryland, Larry Brown, who's a Super Bowl MVP in that Super Bowl that Zimmer won as a assistant coach. He was also their defensive coordinator from 2000 to 2006. Had some tough years. Had some really, really bad years at that time. But he did get the defense to play a little bit better when Bill Parcells came over to become the head coach. And, again, he was a defensive coordinator for that one season in 2007 with the Falcons, which was a disastrous year. That was the year that Bobby Petrino basically bailed out on them 13 games into the season after fully committing himself, by the way, to owner Arthur Blank and to a lot of those players. And that was just a disastrous year, including the whole Michael Vick situation. So that was a bad year to be a Falcons fan that season. And then in 2008, he came over to become the defensive coordinator of the Bengals. This man has gone through so many things personally. His wife, Vicky, died unexpectedly at their Ohio home back in 2009 on October the 8th that year. They had a game that they coached just 3 days after against the Baltimore Ravens. They won the game 17-14, and he was awarded the game ball by head coach Marvin Lewis. So you talk about a guy that is a long time coming. He certainly has been deserving of a head coach opportunity, and he's going to take over a Vikings team that fired Leslie Frazier. This is a Vikings team that really they need a quarterback too, much like the Titans, and they're going to have an opportunity to look for a quarterback in this year's upcoming draft, and I hope they find one because they need one. This is a team that you have to warn about the trade rumors regarding Adrian Peterson, Jared Allen, their star defensive lineman. He's going to be a restricted free agent, so you have to worry about trying to re-sign him. So what type of relationship will Zimmer have with these players remains to be seen, but it certainly is going to be an opportunity for him. Like I say, he deserves it, and he's going to have his hands full in a division where you got Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit, those three teams, they're going to be at the top, and those three teams are going to be really competing for division supremacy for years, for many, many years. So Minnesota, they're at the bottom of the barrel, and they got some issues that they need to sort out. So good luck to Mike Zimmer, but congratulations nonetheless because he is certainly deserving of the opportunity. 57 years old, been coaching forever. Since 1979, going back to his days as a defensive assistant at the University of Missouri. So, again, congratulations to him, and good luck to him the rest of the way and throughout this entire offseason. Speaking of football, we got some playoff games we got to talk about real quickly, and I didn't get a chance to reflect on this on yesterday's show for Worldwide Core Radio. But basically, we got the two playoff games that are going to be coming up this Sunday. We have the Patriots and Broncos. It's Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. What more do you need to know? We got 49ers Seahawks, which is probably the most bitter rivalry right now as far as respect and coaching. Because to me, Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh, they don't like each other. Going back to their days in college where Harbaugh was the coach at Stanford and Carroll was the coach at USC. They didn't like each other then. They don't like each other now. I think there is a mutual respect between both organizations, both sets of rosters amongst the players, but I just think that it's a level of hatred, and it's fine. No love lost. That's how it is when it comes to division rivalries. These two teams will face each other this Sunday in Seattle. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be a big crowd. I'm looking forward to seeing how Colin Kaepernick is going to do, because in two games as a starting quarterback, he has had two of his worst games as a starting quarterback up there in Seattle. But Russell Wilson hasn't done that much better against San Francisco either. So to me, it's not going to really be just the quarterbacks who win this game. It's going to come down to the running game. And I think both running backs, Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch, both power backs, they have shown that they are power backs with their strength and their ability to run the football effectively. I think whichever running back plays better is going to end up being the main determining factor as to who wins this game. I think Kaepernick has a chance to redeem himself after having such a horrid performance earlier this year in Seattle on that Sunday night game where they lost badly 29-3. He was horrible, threw four interceptions in that game, just absolutely terrible. But you could tell that this 49ers team, they're focused, they're ready. They want to go up there and they want to show Seattle who is the main dog, not just in the NFC West, but throughout the entire NFC Conference period. And they're going to have a chance to showcase that. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a smash-mouth game. That game will take place 6 p.m. on Fox. I'm looking forward to it, especially after the AFC matchup between the Broncos and Patriots. This is a game I'm looking forward to more because I love Peyton Manning. I've always been a fan of this game. I've been a fan of Tom Brady going back to his days at Michigan, although he didn't get a chance to play a whole lot. But when he did, he showcased he could do some things. The guy was a seventh-round pick, had a lot of quarterbacks taken ahead of him, but he went on to become a Hall of Famer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's definitely first ballot. Both of these guys are first ballot Hall of Famers. These two guys, you talk about division rivalries, these two guys were once division rivalries back then where there were five teams in the division, well, six in the AFC Central with Cleveland coming back to the NFL in 1999. The Colts and Patriots were division rivals a little bit in the AFC East shortly before 2002 where the Colts got moved to the AFC South. That's where the rivalry between these two quarterbacks really got started, really started to pick up the intensity. These two quarterbacks have met each other three times in the postseason. Tom Brady has won the first two. Those first two were at Gillette Stadium, 24-14 and 20-3. The other was in the 2007 AFC Championship game where it took place at the RCA Dome. The Patriots beat the Colts beat the Patriots after the Patriots were up 21-3. The Colts came back in the final minute. They won 30-34. Tom Brady had a chance to go down in March and put up a game-winning score, but he was picked off in the about midfield by Marlon Jackson, which sealed the game. So basically, whichever quarterback between these two has won the playoff game, that quarterback went on to win the Super Bowl. And that was the case with Tom Brady winning two Super Bowls after beating Peyton Manning twice and then Peyton Manning getting revenge and going on to win a Super Bowl. This will be the first time that these two will meet in the postseason with Peyton Manning as a Broncos quarterback. So that's going to be interesting. Tom Brady is 1-1 all time against the Broncos in the postseason. The one loss was on the road after the 2005 season. They lost in the divisional round. That was the year where Tom Brady had a lot of injuries on both the offense and the defensive side of the ball, particularly that offensive line that year. And this year it's kind of been no different. He's dealing with a lot of injuries. Peyton Manning is also dealing with a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of these guys on the defense for both teams are going to be out. So that could also mainly be a big-time determining factor as to who wins this game. And you also have to remember, everyone's talking about how LeGarrette Blount, how the Broncos should be worried about him. Well, if memory serves me correctly, earlier this year, even though the Broncos were up 24-0, they lost the game 34-31 in overtime. No Sean Marino had a career-high 37 carries for a career-high 223 yards and a touchdown. He was also a big factor in the passing game as well. The Patriots need to be concerned about him because he's a guy that doesn't fumble the football. He rarely turns the ball over. Monty Ball, he's going to be a good quality backup and a good piece in this game as well. And you also have to remember LeGarrette Blount and, you know, the Patriots running backs were fumbling in that game, and they all got benched. So the running game wasn't a factor at all. But LeGarrette Blount has arguably been the hottest running back since maybe week 15 of the regular season. So that's also going to be a big determining factor. This game will be 3 p.m. this Sunday on CBS. You can check your local CBS or you can check your local Fox stations for that Seahawks and 49ers game. Damn, I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. It's going to be off the chart. You talk about intense. It's going to be intense in both of these games. The Super Bowl is on the line. This is big. This is what you live for as a football fan, and I can't wait to watch it. I will be glued to the screen for both games. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to pick the 49ers to beat the Seahawks just because, you know, I've never really been a big fan of the Seahawks, so I'm not going to lie to you on that. I've always respected the 49ers organization. I got a ton of respect for Kaepernick, the way he plays the quarterback position. Anquan Boldin is going to be big. He has to be. Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, Michael Crabtree, who did not play in those two meetings against Seattle. He's going to be a big determining factor. He's going to be the wild card player if San Francisco is going to have a chance to win. And for Seattle, it has to be Percy Harvin, who didn't face San Francisco this year either. So you have to determine that as well. And you also have to determine the fact that both receivers are almost kind of like the same type of player. Quick, fast, speedy, can catch the ball, can make some plays. that's also going to be big. And I think that you have to consider the defenses, not just the defenses, but how are those offenses going to match up is going to be a key determinant factor. I like San Francisco better because, to me, they're more of a balanced team. They got the better set of receivers. They might not have the better runner completely, but to me, they got the better passer in this game, and I also think that they got the better just a more balanced attack. I think Russell Wilson really hasn't been doing much in the postseason so far, but he's going to have to raise his game up. And Kaepernick's going to have to raise his game up too, both ways. Intensity. Remember, intensity. This is going to be the big thing that determines who wins this game. And I'm going to go with the 49ers because I just think that they're more balanced of a team. I think they got the better set of receivers, and I think that's also going to be a determining factor as to who wins this game. They've been to the Super Bowl already, this group of players. They've been to the last two. They played in two straight NFC Championship games. So they got that to work with as well. This will be Russell Wilson's first NFC Championship game. And I think coach is also going to have a major determining factor. Pete Carroll, going back to his days when he was the coach of the Patriots, Pete Carroll was a guy that took the Patriots to the postseason, but he never reached the AFC Championship. This will be his first AFC Championship game as a head coach. So I'm looking forward to it. But like I said, I'm going to take the 49ers. I'm going to take the Broncos to win because I think they're at home. Being at home is going to help them, not to mention the fact that they got fire in their eyes because they know they should have beaten the Patriots early this year. We all know they should have beaten the Patriots early this year. Maybe everybody that wasn't a Patriots fan should have known that they should have beaten the Patriots this year after being 24-0. So they got redemption. To me, this is a game about redemption for not only that particular matchup that happened early in the regular season, but Peyton Manning as well, you know. Especially in the playoffs against Tom Brady and going up against Bill Belichick. It's redemption. It's redemption a little bit. Even the odds to go 2-2 in this matchup, he's got to win Sunday. He's got to win. And I'm going to take Denver because, like I said, being at home is going to help them. And I think they got the better set of receivers as well, despite both defenses being banged up. But I think it's going to be more the offenses that determine who wins this game. And Wes Welker, major determining factor. He's the wild card. He's going to be a major, major determining factor as to Denver's success. And I also think that for New England, it's got to be somebody maybe on the defensive side that's going to be a wild card, and that's going to be a key to lead, a queep to lead. He's going to be going up against guys like Welker and guys like Eric Decker. He's going to be a wild card for New England, even though he's on the defensive side of the ball. So that's also going to be a major determining factor. You have to also remember that this is a redemption game. Super Bowl berth is on the line. I can't wait. So anyway, I got the Broncos, I got the 49ers, and I actually had these two teams from the start of the season, the Broncos and the 49ers. So I'm looking forward to this matchup. You can check it out this Sunday, 3 o'clock, Patriots-Broncos, 6 p.m., 49ers and Seahawks. Let's go. Thank you all for tuning in to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown Podcast. Yours truly will be back on the air once again next weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck to all your teams. Good luck to all your teams in the NBA and the NHL playing tonight. We got some big matches that are going to be taking place, so check it out. Good luck to everybody. Thanks again for all your support. This is Rocket signing off. Rocket Nation, thanks for all your support. Get ready for a power trip, and we will see you again next time.